It's taken nearly 25 years of trial and error to get it right, and now gene therapy is nearly ready for prime time. The first approved use in Europe for a rare enzyme deficiency is expected to become available this year. WHYY's Jessica McDonald looks into what an innovation like this means for the pharma industry and the insurance companies that get slapped with the bill.
Mike Marlier of Paducah, Kentucky, was only supposed to make it to his 20th birthday. The 69-year-old has hemophilia B, or a deficiency in one of the critical proteins our bodies use to clot blood. Back in the early 50s, he needed to be hospitalized and given blood transfusions to restore some of the protein.
I missed most of what should have been first and second grade.
Over time, treatment improved. Plasma replaced blood, making it easier to find donors. In the 70s, artificial clotting factor eliminated the need for using potentially dangerous products made from blood donations. The problem continuing to plague Marlier into adulthood is spontaneous bleeding in joints. It's not visible, but blood can fill elbows or knees until there's no range of motion.
At that point, the pain takes off exponentially. As the pressure continues to build, it literally feels like it's pushing your bones apart.
Then he volunteered to take part in a clinical trial for gene therapy. The basic idea is to restore the missing or mutated gene, in this case clotting factor 9, and cure the disease. For the first time, Marlier's liver began to make a small amount of the clotting protein. Before, he had to get clotting treatment several times a month. In the year and a half since the gene therapy, he's had it once. That's not yet a cure, but it's progress. And the question for many is, how much should it cost?
I think it's bad policy and bad politics to have $1.5 million treatments.
That's Jim Wilson, a researcher at the University of Pennsylvania. More than almost anyone else, he knows how hard it's been to make gene therapy a reality. He pioneered the pieces of viral DNA or vectors that deliver the genes into cells. And he was also the lead investigator on an early clinical trial that led to the death of an 18-year-old named Jesse Gelsinger in 1999. His death frightened scientists and companies away from the technology for many years. But the safety has improved. In Philadelphia alone, Novartis has partnered with Penn to develop a gene therapy technique to treat leukemia. Spark Therapeutics, a spinoff from the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, has had success in clinical trials treating a rare form of blindness and in the trial Marlier is a part of, hemophilia. Wilson thinks it's time people on the commercial side begin to think about pricing.
I call it the dirty little secret about the challenges of reimbursement and the lack of a business model that with time as we mature this field is going to surface and become, I think, a real problem.
As he sees it, gene therapy is the rare high-tech treatment that doesn't have to cost healthcare systems tons of money. Diseases now requiring hundreds of thousands of dollars or more of treatment every year could be cured with a single injection that costs little to manufacture. Wilson and others are advocating for a payment plan approach. Instead of a single, giant upfront bill, companies would be paid smaller amounts each year as long as the therapy continues to work.
It puts the responsibility on the biopharmaceutical company to bring forward truly effective treatments that last for a long period of time because their reimbursement would be based actually on performance.
But not everyone is convinced.
It's mind-boggling on how hard that would be.
Brian Corvino is a consultant with Decision Resources Group in Yardley, Pennsylvania. Cost savings over a lifetime, he says, don't mean much in the business world if the same entity doesn't reap the rewards of the investment. And in the U.S., many people have different providers for prescription drugs and medical care.
If you have an argument that says pay for this more expensive drug because you'll minimize emergency room visits, you can see how the incentives might look very different.
Complicating the issue further, the American healthcare system, unlike those in Europe, isn't a single payer that will stay with a person from cradle to grave.
The average person will switch insurers many, many times over their lifetime.
Would a new company be obligated to pay the cost of a drug that has already been delivered? The details matter, and it's not clear how they would be resolved. Patricia Danzen, a professor of healthcare management at the Wharton School, says the experimental nature of gene therapy is also cause for concern.
It's easy to deal with the perfect cure. What's not so easy is how to deal with something that has uncertainty on both the benefits and the side effects, and on what the future evolution will be of subsequent therapies.
but she says she could imagine gene therapy trying out a plan where the price changes over time as it's monitored.
If the efficacy is as good as everybody hoped, then the price can be raised, and if it's not as good as people hoped, then the price may be lowered or coverage may be discontinued. It's almost like launching a drug before the clinical trials are completed.
That approach might or might not involve multiple payments. In Europe, it's being used more and more, but in the U.S., she says, the arrangement is extremely rare. Both Danzen and Corvino think payment for gene therapy will happen, at least at first, more or less like the new hepatitis C drugs that cure a majority of patients, in one large upfront fee. I'm Jessica McDonald, WHYY News.